The tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members in a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged by greater strictness. The Epistle of James, chapter 3. It is not lost on me that in my very first sermon, in a new role where my primary responsibilities are teaching and preaching, that the lectionary presents us with such a blunt warning to those who would presume to teach and to preach. The text is a condemnation of arrogance and boastfulness. It is a rebuke to anyone who would use words to set themselves, their ego, their agenda, their pride above or before the proclamation of Christ. It is not lost on me. There will be a time in a few weeks where we will do a covenanting service, where we will make promises to each other. But for now, in my own words and from my own heart, I just want you to know that I take the trust that you have placed in me and the responsibility of standing in this place very seriously. I'm going to do my best. I will be of service to this community to the best of my abilities, while also making sure that I stay healthy and whole for myself and my family. I hope you will pray for me. I will make mistakes, because we all do, but I promise that I will bring the best and deepest part of myself to this ministry, and I hope you will do the same, because ultimately that is what we are doing here, finding the inspiration and strength to set down that which separates us, our egos, our agendas, our pride, and offer ourselves completely into the hands of God and into the ways of Jesus. This is not easy, and it is why we don't do it alone. Faith is meant to be a shared journey, and it doesn't matter if you are here or online, if you're brand new, or if this has been your church home for decades, it is a journey we are called to take together, and one I am so looking forward to taking with you. Please, let us pray. God, there are no words. There are no words for the things that break us open, strip us naked in the glare, for birth and death, for joy and grief, for the loneliness of the dark night, or for the lighting of love. God, we need words. We need words whose power in the throat rises like the welling of ancient water. Words from the roots of the earth, wise with the secrets of fire and stone and soil. Words for what lives in the eyes of the dying and the newborn. Words for the breaking open of hardened places. Words for your unrelenting glory. God, we need words for the lighting of love. Amen. The book of Proverbs, also known as the Proverbs of Solomon, is an example of biblical wisdom literature. It is a collection of sayings written between 700 and 400 BCE that raise questions and give practical advice on values, just conduct, and the meaning of human life. The book's theological foundation is something that the writers refer to as the fear of God. Now, our language fails us here, because this does not mean sniveling in terror before God. Fear of God is an ancient code for the proper behavior of religious people in relation to God and God's creation. It involves awe and respect and obedience. It summarizes righteous living. People who fear God have their feet planted on the ground, see around them truthfully, and live in harmony with God and with the earth. Now in Proverbs, we also meet the character of Lady Wisdom. Wisdom is praised for her role in creation. She was with God before all else, and through her, God gave order to chaos. The writers of Proverbs declare that people will have life and prosperity if they live graciously and justly within the order of creation. And so seeking wisdom is the essence of the religious life. Lady Wisdom is the cosmic figure that brings harmony, but she also takes on another role. When things do not go according to God's wishes, she is also the raging prophetess. She is the street preacher. She is the firebrand of God. As Fran read for us, wisdom cries out in the street, in the square she raises her voice. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? I have called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one heeded. This is not the far removed cosmic wisdom. This is the embodied voice of wisdom unheeded and abandoned. But she is not going down without a fight. She walks out boldly into the city streets, into the market squares, into the center of commercial and religious life, and commands attention. Wisdom demands to be heard, not in the privacy of homes or the sacredness of the temple or even in the quiet recesses of the soul, but in the center of communal life. This is wisdom fed up and frustrated. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind, and they will call upon me, but I will not answer because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Ouch. Her tone is harsh. Her tone is harsh because she knows what is at stake. She knows that there are consequences of her words unheeded. The consequences are calamity. It is social breakdown, spiritual desolation, the collapse of creation itself, of which she is as a mother. While it may be difficult to imagine wisdom speaking with this kind of harshness, we must remember that this is the voice of a mother whose child is threatened. This is the voice of the mama grizzly bear when you come between her and her cub. There are consequences for not heeding her warnings. In these days of social unraveling and ecological devastation, I wonder where we are hearing wisdom crying out amongst us now. I, for one, hear wisdom crying out from healthcare professionals, debunking every half-baked conspiracy theory about vaccines. I hear it from young Indigenous people on social media platforms like TikTok, reclaiming their language and heritage and spirituality. I hear it from the scientists on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, sounding the alarm, calling this current moment a code red for humanity. When I think of wisdom embodied, crying out to be heard, I think of Greta Thunberg staring down world leaders at the UN. How dare you, she cries out. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are at the beginning of mass extinctions, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? Wisdom demands to be heard. She uses words that shock, to wake us up, to stir us out of complacency, to make us feel something. She knows that in order to make change on a global scale, we must start with the individual. We must reach the heart of a person. She knows that our self-inflicted separation from creation, her child, is leading us to speak and behave in more unnatural and harmful ways. And she demands that we hear and feel the consequences of our actions. And so in these days of floods and droughts and heat waves and forest fires, she cries out through creation itself. If we are listening, we hear her crying out through the trees engulfed in flames, through the sea creatures baking to death in their own shells, through the mama grizzly bear unable to find food for her children because her home has been decimated. How dare you, she cries. How long, O selfish ones, will you love being selfish? How dare you? From the Jewish perspective found in the book of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom was with God at the beginning of all things, bringing harmony into creation. The Christian contribution found in the Gospel of John is that Christ was at the beginning, and through him all creation came into being. Given creation's central place in our spiritual ancestry and Christian witness, it is alarming to me how large swaths of Christianity have either ignored or have been actively hostile to the care of God's creation. How Christians view creation is very much dependent on how we view Jesus. It is in the answering of the question that Jesus himself poses to Peter, and who do you say that I am? Because how we answer that question will fundamentally shape our worldview. If we see Jesus as the one who has come to fix everything, the one to usher in a new utopian age without any human intervention, why would we change our behavior or the systems of selfishness we participate in? If we believe that apocalyptic destruction is God's will and that the creation of a new earth is actually the goal, why would we fight to protect this one? Conversely, if you believe, as I do, that the incarnation demonstrates how much God loves this world and that Jesus came to call humanity into deep, deep relationship with this world, if you believe that he cries out to us to set down ego and agenda and pride and see that it's not just about us, it's about the community, the watershed, the ecosystem, all ordered and animated with the wisdom of God, then you will have a very different worldview, very different values and behaviors. Creation care will be a necessary part of your spirituality because ultimately it will be self-care. We will see ourselves not as distinct, apart, above the other people of creation, the tree people, the bird people, the bear people, but members of the same family, where all members are worthy of love and respect and the freedom to live according to the wisdom of God. And with deep empathy, when our relations are threatened, the natural response will be to cry out and demand that they be heard. To be a follower of Jesus in this era defined by social unraveling and ecological trauma means following him into the suffering places of this world, to allow ourselves to feel and be transformed and have our hearts changed by suffering. But like him, we are also not meant to stay in that place of suffering and death. Mark writes, "Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed, but after 3 days, rise again." To be his follower also means trusting in resurrection, believing that despite every evidence to the contrary, that God will not, does not let suffering and death and destruction get the last word. This is the essence of Christian hope. God's love lightens and prevails. My family and I took a very long road trip to Western Canada this summer. and we still love each other. It's okay. But there were long stretches that we could barely see through the smoke from the forest fires. The smoke caught in our throats and turned the sun orange and red. Fire is devastating. It destroys lives and homes and ecosystems. And yet after a fire burns through a forest, and when all is ashen in death, the following spring, something wondrous happens. Something awe-inspiring happens. Seeds that have been laying entombed in the earth spring forth in abundance. Vibrant green takes over the charred earth. The forest is reborn, not as it was, but into something new. This spiritual community, it has had a presence in Toronto's downtown core for over 200 years. This church was envisioned to be the cathedral of Methodism in Canada, an architectural gem, richly decorated and magnificent. On Sunday, January 29th, 1928, Reverend Sedgwick, the minister of Metropolitan at that time, ended his sermon with these words: "The God that answerest by fire, let him be God." At 4 a.m. the next morning, a coffee urn shorted out and most of the church burned to the ground. Talk about a tongue of fire. Now, if our ancestors had not believed the resurrection was possible, if they had looked upon the charred earth and not believed that the spring would come, that might have been the end of the story of this community. But it was not. Christ's mission here at the heart of Canada's largest city, here at the crossroads of communal life, was not done. The people rebuilt. The church was reborn, not as it was, but as something new. As a constant reminder of resurrection, our ancestors took the broken glass from the broken stained glass windows and created these chandeliers that shine down on us now. Here in these days of social breakdown and ecological trauma, when it feels like the whole world is on fire, we are invited once again to be reborn into something new. Listening for Lady Wisdom crying out in the streets, may we allow ourselves to be transformed by her cries, the cries of creation itself. May we have the strength to offer the best and deepest part of ourselves to Christ's ministry. May we have the courage to follow him even into the fire, believing, trusting that new life is always possible. Even in these days, especially in these days, may we find the words for the lighting of love. May it be so.